I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles today, just the very first book of the Bible. We're going to flip to Genesis. I've been just journeying through there, and some wonderful stories are jumping out to me. So I want to share with you, as we're going to be taking communion today, if you don't have some elements, I want to encourage you to find some kind of a cracker or juice or some kind of liquid substance. At some point, we're going to take the elements together. But in Genesis chapter 22, we pick up a story of Abraham being tested by God. We see his obedience to God, and we see the truth that comes out of that. But I want to just shed a little bit more light on the story in a different setting or a different way. So we jump into the story, Genesis 22, verse 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took his knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on your boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." And as we read that scripture, I hope you wrestle with the Bible. I hope you wrestle with the Word of God and be challenged by it. That's a tall order to take your son. If we remember the story, this is the promised seed son. In their old age, and finally they get a son to inherit and build the kingdom, build the nations, you know, as many as the stars and the sand and the sea. This is the son. And God is saying, "I want you to sacrifice him." And then as we read that scripture, I'm just challenged by that thought. And so often I would think, "Well, God, are you asking me to sacrifice like that? Sacrifice my own child?" You know, we see in the Old Testament, you know, we see times of that. Okay, that's a little bit challenging. I'm both seeing in the New Testament, we don't see that. But this story and teaching about Abraham's obedience, we see that. And we would think that we're Abraham in the story, wouldn't we? Well, we got to be obedient like Abraham. But let's never forget that in the Old Testament, we see individuals that are examples, again, that are types and shadows of somebody we'd see in the New Testament. And I see pretty clear here that Abraham is actually like God himself. And he sacrifices his son for us, his only son for us. And when I read that story, I think, man, I want to be, you know, Abraham. I don't really want to be the sacrifice, the son. But we see here that Abraham is willing to give up his son. And God says, no, I have somebody else in mind. And Isaac is able to get off of the altar, get off of the being sacrificed, and God provides. You know, it says that they're looking for a lamb. God will provide a lamb. Oh, isn't that a great example? Again, Old Testament type and shadow of Jesus Christ. God will provide the lamb. He will provide Jesus, his only son, as the sacrifice. And when I think about the story, it says that Abraham put the wood on his son Isaac to carry. I mean, we just carry right into the New Testament that thought, don't we? When we see the wood, we see it as an Old Testament example of wood comes from a tree. And we know that the tree is honestly, again, an example of the cross. And we read in the New Testament that Jesus had to carry his own cross before he was crucified. So we see that example here again. And when we think about Isaac on the altar, you know, you and I deserve to be on that altar. Let's not kind of, you know, play it up or, you know, try and make it soft and cushy and comfortable. Like, we deserve the death penalty, you and I, for our sin and our wickedness and our evil. And God says, "I see that, but I'm going to take you off the altar. I'm going to put my son on the altar so that you don't have to receive that death penalty." And as you and I grow up, as we get to know the Word of God more and more, as we mature and grow in the Word of God, we resonate with the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. We see in our 20s, you know, as teenagers, we kind of, we just, We know it all. We've got it all under control. Our parents know nothing. We know it all. In our 20s and 30s, we begin to start realizing that, actually, I'm not so perfect. And maybe what they said, my parents said, actually had some wisdom. Typically, usually in our 40s and 50s, we begin to realize the real death penalty that Jesus paid for us. It humbles us. It even draws us to tears when we think about it. And later on in our life, in 60s plus, we think about the Apostle Paul. As we would read in Scripture, he'd say, I'm a sinner, I'm wicked, I'm evil. And no, actually, I'm the leader, I'm the chief sinner, as he gets older, as he matures and grows closer to Christ. So I pray that as we look at these Scriptures together, that you and I would feel that same weight, that Jesus took it all upon himself. He substituted himself. He took you and I off the altar, even though we deserved to be there, and he put his son Jesus on the altar. So as we take the communion elements this morning or today, I just pray that we would connect with God in that way. We would just say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for your son. Thank you, God, you've been so faithful. So let's look at that together as the Apostle Paul is teaching the people how to take the communion. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, it says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So again, I'm just going to encourage you to get your elements out, and we'll take the bread together. Again, it says, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Oh God, I just thank you so much for all of the Old Testament examples that you were going to come and sacrifice yourself on my behalf because of all the things that I had done. Even though I was an enemy of the cross, an enemy of Christ, you sacrificed yourself, your son, Jesus, for my sake. So God, I remember that, we remember that, and I say thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Well, thank you, Jesus, as we read the scripture that we should have been on the altar. We should have been slain. Our blood should have been shed, but it was your blood that was shed for our behalf. God, thank you that it cleanses me from the inside. Thank you, God, that I don't have to feel condemned and ashamed of my sin, that I know that I'm free in Christ. I'm free in Jesus because of what you did. So thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name. Oh, I just love taking the communion with you guys. It's so much fun to be able to do that together. That's just something that, restrictions can never take away from us, our connection with our God in this way. I want to continue to kind of expand on the story and look a little bit deeper as we were looking at Abraham and Isaac. So let's jump back to verse 3. When we think about obedience to Christ, as Christ was obedient to the cross, how does that challenge us? So in verse 3, it says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac, and when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. Now, we have to assume a couple things here for Abraham's sake, because it doesn't say clearly that God spoke to Abraham and gave him, an example or an image of where to go exactly or what it looked like. He just got up early the next morning, and he was obedient to whatever God told him to do. So he was just up early, and he just went. He didn't delay. He didn't raise objections. He did not take time to deliberate. He just wanted to go. He didn't want to kind of check with anybody. He had a revelation from God, and he just wanted to make it happen. And those that do the will of God wholeheartedly do it speedily, without delay, without time lost. And why? Because the heart and our will and our purposes will begin to harden. We'll begin to kind of like question that. But if we do it quickly, we'll be able to follow and be obedient. The second thing I see out of this is that he gets ready for the sacrifice with his own hands by gathering the wood for him for the burnt offering. I just can imagine that. Like back in the day, it wasn't just some simple chainsaws. You went to just like the cord of wood over here. Like he had to go gather the wood. So he is very intentional about what God had asked him to do. And isn't that like what God asks of us? If we're going to be obedient to God, well, we got to be intentional. Oh, we got to slow down. Oh, we got to free up our schedule. We got to make room for God and what he wants to do. See, spiritual sacrifice must be prepared for. You know, as a church, we often say to you, hey, can you come out Thursday? Can you pray and fast with us? Can you be generous? Can you serve? Can you clean up a lawn? All these kind of things. For you to be able to do those things, you have to be intentional. Because we all have a schedule. We all have work. We all have playtime. We all have families. So we have to be able to free up time to be able to do that. Even in your devotional time, you know, like it says here, you got up early in the morning. You might need to do that. You might have to get up early in the morning because your schedule doesn't allow you or there's no flex space to be able to have time with God. So you have to be intentional to make that happen. Otherwise, the day will just go away. You put your head on the pillow. If you weren't intentional, you'll miss these wonderful opportunities. So let's be intentional as a church in obedience to Christ. Now, I'm about to say something that might be a little controversial, and let me just kind of say the whole piece with you. It was very probable that he said nothing to his wife, Sarah. Now, I'm not saying that you should do that. Please don't get up early in the morning and feel like you've got a vision from God and you're just going to go out and do it. You're not going to check in with your husband or your wife. That's not what the scriptures are saying. But what it is clearly saying is that Abraham was just wanting to fulfill what God had asked him to do. And the more he questioned it, the more he was concerned about it, the more people that he brought into the conversation, the more he might not be willing to do it. So be careful of that again. I'm not saying go out and do something completely radical without checking with some people. Please check with your pastor if you're thinking of doing anything like that. I mean, this is Old Testament again. But also, just be very deliberate, be intentional. When God says to do something and it makes sense, you just want to be obedient to him. We go on to read in the verses here in verse 4. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. After 3 days of wandering around, you can imagine, you know, you ask your wife, you say, Sarah, I'm going to take Isaac for a little walk here. And, you know, she's like, Abraham's like 100. And it's been the third day. And where are they? You know, why aren't they home? What's happening here? I just love that kind of a thought. And after 3 days, you know, Abraham, I'm assuming, you know, packed enough for them. Food, water, supplies, all that kind of stuff. Because they were wandering for quite some time. And he carefully looked around Abraham, just very intentional, looking around. Where does God want us to go? And at some point it says, you know, they looked around, they saw the place in the distance. Can you imagine that with me? Like, I mean, there's just rolling hills or desert or whatever it looks like. And all of a sudden you're like, there it is. It's crystal clear. You know, is it like a pillar of fire? Is it something like, you know, from heaven coming down to earth? Is it just something kind of shiny? Well, whatever it looked like, he just knew that he knew that that was the place. And I just love how, as we search for God, it is crystal clear. And sometimes we might think God's far off, but he's making it clear for you and I where to go and how to find him. See, God promised this sign and it would be direct. God promised the place where this would happen. So we see in verse 5, it goes on to say, he said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. See, he left his servants at a distance for many reasons. You know, again, they might interrupt what Abraham felt like he was called to do. They might create some kind of disturbance at this strange sacrifice. Abraham, what are you doing to your son? And remember, these were the servants of the house. And they all would have known the story that Sarah, in her old age, you know, had this son, the promised seed son. This son was a miracle. This child was a miracle. And Abraham is not a young whippersnapper anymore. You know, he's 100 plus, somewhere in there. And you think the servants would have looked at Abraham and said, this guy's losing his mind. We better stop him before he hurts himself or his son. You know, his son, we can kind of look at it in the Old Testament and kind of look back. We think, you know, he's like, you know, teenager, he's younger, he's 20. It doesn't matter. He's young and Abraham's very old. And so we see that clearly. The people might be concerned that Abraham's doing something crazy. So he leaves them far off. Now think about this for just a moment. I just want to pause on that thought and just move into a New Testament thought. When Jesus Christ was entering upon his agony in the garden, just before he was going to be hung on the cross or sacrificed in a sense, he went with just a few of his disciples, didn't he? He went with all the posse, you know, all the disciples, and he said, okay, you guys stay here, and I'm going to bring three of my disciples with me. And then he even went on from there, even to be by himself, and just was just pressing into God and just calling out to God. And almost like, you know, crying tears of blood for God. He was just in such, agony, he was just praying. So he's very intentional here. Jesus is very intentional, right? He's saying, if I stay with all of these guys, it might be a little distracting. I'm going to bring three of my closest friends with me. Still, they might be distracted because they're honking, falling asleep every time I turn around. So he goes off to be by himself so he can press in, so he can be very intentional. He's focused. He wants to be obedient to God. We see that so clearly. So as you and I, we get close to God and we want to be obedient to God. We want to get to the presence of God. For goodness sake, don't bring your phone. You can't say to God, God, hold on a second. I got to take this call because somebody more important is phoning me. Like, let's take that seriously as we get close to God. You know, I honestly I love little sticky notes. I'm a kind of, you know, planner sticky note guy. I like to, ooh, I did something off my list. So I got myself a sticky note pad usually when I'm in my quiet time because a thought will go through my head like, oh, I got to phone the internet guy or, you know, I got to deal with this and quickly write it down. So I want to get out of my head so I can focus because when I'm in God's presence, I want to be there. I don't want to be distracted by other things. This past Wednesday, I had this wonderful opportunity. This happens once in a while when I go home. There's nobody in the house. You know, my wife's at work, and my kids are at school. It was the afternoon, so I had lunch, and then I was like, okay, I got a whole hour to kill here before I got to pick anybody up. And I just was challenged by that, and I thought, I actually don't want to turn the TV on. I don't want to social media myself. I don't want to go be distracted by anything. I honestly just sat there quietly, and I just allowed the presence of God to fill me. I just allowed the creator of the universe to speak into my soul and my spirit. And it was just a wonderful hour. I just felt like I honestly didn't want to leave those kind of moments. But for the kids' sake, I had to go get them. Otherwise, the school would be following me. But when we come to God in obedience, we got to be able to hear God's voice. And to be able to do that, we have to get all distractions away. We have to put all things that might lead us away from him just so we can be quiet, so we can enter into God's presence. Let's go back to the story now in verse 6. It says, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife, and two of them went on together. So in the very beginning of the message, I just was reminding us that, you know, Isaac carried the wood. Jesus carried the cross. It says in John chapter 19, verse 17, so the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went to the place of the skull. So Jesus, again, carrying his own cross. Whoa, what a great example that is to us. He took that and in obedience to God. And, man, it was not easy. Think about that. You think about, you know, young Isaac here. Here, have a bunch of wood on your back. As if wood's light. You know, I usually in my sling of my arm, I'm just going to put, like, you know, five or six pieces of wood. And then it says that it was a far distance, remember, that they had to walk. So he's like, oh, my word, my arm is getting exhausted. And you think about Jesus bleeding and beaten, and he's carrying this cross. Like, that's difficult on a good day. Let alone when you're beaten up and you're bleeding or people are kicking and spitting on you. It's really difficult. But he was obedient. What are you and I willing to give up? What are you and I willing to struggle and wrestle through? Oh, that challenges me deep into my soul. Let's continue to read here in verse 7 and 8. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When I read that, it's just so smooth and so quick, and sometimes we just read right through it. Think about this. Abraham, I'm sure like Jesus, was wrestling with this thought, like, God, are you kidding me? You know, he's walking at a great distance. I remember I spoke about this message about a year ago to you, about challenging with that kind of a thought. As you're walking and thinking about this, you're like, oh, are you sure, God? Are we okay? And then your son's asking you, how are we doing? And he just says confidently to his son, God is going to provide a lamb. And for you and I, we can be so confident in that as well, is that in our brokenness and our sinfulness and all of our worries, that God has provided a way out. God has provided a healer. God has provided a comforter for you and I. And we can be so confident in that, just as Abraham was so confident to his son. Verse 9 will continue the story. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took his knife to slay his son. You know, our duty to God in obedience is really our return for love for him. How much do we really love God? How much do we really trust God that we would be that obedient? We must walk in the steps of faith as Abraham. That's the truth. That's the challenge for us. We've got to be obedient to God. And God, by his word, he calls us to Christ. All those things that are competitors or rivals with Christ, we must cheerfully let them go. There is nothing else worth living for or desiring than Christ Jesus in our lives. And we got to come to that realization. Now, that's a tough pill to swallow sometimes. Let me read it to you and just really challenge you with the word of God today. In Luke chapter 14, verse 26, it says this. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Are you reading that carefully? Ouch. You know, I hope you wrestle with those kind of thoughts. Like, what? That's Jesus' mouth talking to us. What is he talking about? That seems so intense to hate those kind of things. And I know Jesus isn't wanting us to hate our family, hate our wives or our children. But what he's crystal clearly saying is that if there's anything between you and us, you know, you and God, you and Jesus, you and your relationship, you have to disown it. And that's a tough pill, isn't it? Here Jesus teaches us about possession, you know, give up your possessions, you know, be generous, serve. And then he goes a step further, a step deeper. Leave even your relationships. Whoa, relationships. Okay, now God, you know, I can give up the, you know, possessions and money, but now you're talking about my relationship. You want me to sacrifice that and give that over to you and trust you with that? Are you kidding me? You want me to trust you with my son or my daughter or my wife? God, I'm the man of the house, or I'm the woman. I'm going to take care of that myself. And God is saying, no, I want you to give that up to me. So again, make sure you understand, though, it's not hate. We don't hate these people, but we want to not be separated from Christ. We want to be so close to Christ. It's so hard to be able to do that, isn't it? It's so hard to give up those relationships. It's so hard to think about, like, I'm going to sacrifice that to God. I'm just going to trust God with all that because I just want to be so close to God. When you think about Abraham and God called him away from his country, he said, leave your country, leave your family, and go to a place that I will call you. And Abraham was like, okay, that's cool. Not a big deal. Now I want you to give me your son. I want you to sacrifice your son. Whoa, God, holy smokes, man, how much are you asking of me here? Like, I gave you my whole life, but, you know, my son, that's about as far as we go. But God is saying, I want you to trust me with that too. You know, as our kids get older, at some point we have to trust God with those kids. And that's a deep, deep challenge for you and I. You know, when Moses, again, in the comfort of Pharaoh's courtyard, in the comfort of Pharaoh's bosom, in the comfort of all of those possessions and pleasures of the world, God calls him out of that. And where does he meet God? He meets God out in the wilderness in a burning bush. But he wouldn't have met God if he didn't leave all of those pleasures behind. Whoa, that's a good challenge. Not that these people must be in any degree hated, but our comfort and satisfaction in them must be lost and swallowed up for our love for Jesus Christ. Man, I love my family. I love my wife. I love my children. I love this church. I love this family. But if I love them more than I love Christ, I gotta sacrifice them. I gotta give them up because Christ is the ultimate purpose that we're called to. That's the relationship that we're ultimately called to. We must either deny Christ. You know, sometimes it even costs us to be banished from our family and our relationships, our loss of in society. So many places around the world, man, if you go, you're going to serve Jesus Christ, you're out. You're out of the inheritance. You've lost everything. Sometimes they even like plan to try and kill you. Like, it's just that crazy. So we think here, are we willing to sacrifice all that for Christ? Are we willing to give all of that up, all the pleasures of this world? Because you see, the experience of the pleasures of the spiritual life and the believing hopes and the prospects of eternal life will make this hard truth a piece of cake. It'll be easy because we know who God is and we know what he's done for us. We know where we're going. We can trust him with every part of our life. Abraham was willing to give up his son. God was willing to give up his son. What are you willing to give up? I want to go on and just finish a thought here. If you remember back 2 years ago now, I came here and I preached the call. I preached for the position. So we're just over that threshold now into 2 years and a couple days now. And I remember at the beginning of this year, of 2020, we talked about all the restrictions, in a sense, all the things that we had to, you know, adhere to. And you know, they're always changing and they could be changing again. And I was talking with somebody about that, and they said, do you remember back to 9/11 and all the things that happened and all the restrictions that didn't go away ever? They were just always there permanently. And when we think about our COVID restrictions right now, I wonder what things won't go away that will be permanent in our society moving forward. And as a church, I want to think along that thought. That as we think like, well, let's get back to normal. Let's get back to where we were. I honestly don't want to do that. I honestly don't want to go back to the way that we were. I want to press in as a church. I want us to just grow and mature in Christ in this season. So that as we come out of these restriction times and we're able to gather together, there would just be a new hunger and thirst for Christ in a brand new way that we had never seen before or desired before. I think back, you know, going forward as restrictions lift at some point, and we're going to celebrate our 85th anniversary as a church. All these wonderful things are going to happen. We're going to remember the past, but man, I want to move forward. I want to move into the future. I want to move to where God wants to bring us as a church. As a church, we need to wake up to the reality that things are never going to be the same. Historically, we see that God is always on the move. There's always things changing. Let's not get comfortable as a church. Let's be willing to change. Let's be willing to adapt to wherever God wants to bring us. Pastor Andrew did such a wonderful job last Sunday about fasting. If you missed that message, man, I'd really challenge you to go listen to last week's message. And he referred back to an Old Testament prophet who talked about getting into the presence of God, getting into the closeness of God, and how we walk in the water, maybe knee deep or ankle deep or waist deep, or maybe we're swimming in Christ. But I think some of us aren't even in the water yet. That we're not willing to give up the comfort of our life. I want to challenge you, if you're not even there yet, to just get in the water. Get ankle deep. And if you're ankle deep, then I want you to get knee deep. And if you're knee deep, then go waist deep. And if you're waist deep, then start swimming, for crying out loud. I want us as a church to just grow. Let's take the next step of where God is calling us to go. Oh, I'm so encouraged, man. I just love you guys so much. I'm just so thankful that you found us today on Facebook or YouTube channel. Or through our social media. It's wonderful to be in the presence of God with you. Thank you so much. We love you guys. Bless you.